Hi, everybody. Now we're back with this is a sort of a catch-all, interesting to me, topic on the 40-year cycle perspective. And I have an old chart which was in my publications back in '77. It's not very good, but they didn't have computers, so we used to paste these charts up on boards, and I used to sketch it with ink and things. And you can see that I have there are three T's in here. And they're related to the Value Line Composite Index because we had determined previously that there was a coming out of the 1974 low, there was a the blue chips which had died were still kind of dead, but there was an emerging secondary growth stocks trend which you could only pick up in the Value Line Composite Index, and so that was what I was using for my and in the subsequent to this, we began a management program, and you can see what I did is I sketched the chart. I had a little. I came out of the 74 low, went past this. There's a middle T there that pulled back, and then I was forecasting a rally up to 1980 peak. That's it's covered in my 13 advanced decline Ts from 66 in the present using the advanced decline line, which is an unweighted market, which is like the Value Line Composite Index, is unweighted, so it tends to get into the smaller companies, and it's not overpowered by the big blue chips, which is a capitalization weighted market index. So it allowed us to get into that, and if I hadn't been successful with these T's going up to 1980, I imagine I wouldn't be in this business anymore. But the T's had served me for that time period, and you can take these simple T's, and you can construct a way to go through a 40-year cycle. And when you do that, you end up with what I'm going to talk to you about today, a way of looking at things that are it's like the gold T. We have those little tops coming about every year, and you kind of think of the rest and the rest of the rallies. But you watch the evolution because it takes a long time to go through a 40-year. Almost, in fact, if you start investing when you're 30 in your 30s, because that's where you go to school and you get the money, and you add 40 years to that, you're about ready for retirement. So it's really about an adult lifetime that you go through this cycle. That means you're not likely to go through two 40-year cycles back to back because you won't live that long. So it behooves you to look at the last 40-year cycle or the history of 40-year cycles when you're young, just to get the lessons, so that because by the time you learn the lessons, by the time you've gone through a 40-year cycle and you learned all the lessons, your life is if your trading life or your investment life is likely to be over, and so the most you can do is pass it on to somebody else, but you won't be around for the next cycle. So you have to learn from history. This chart is how I learned my stuff, so that's why we're including it today. And it's not a very big chart; it doesn't have a PDF file or anything like that. But it does fit into the in the topics and the categories of the 40-year cycle. You'll notice that when we talk about the 40-year cycle in previous instances, depending on what chart we used, that we saw that there was a in the period from there's a 1929 top, there's a 1968 top, and then and that's 39-year separation, and then you go 39 years, you get out to the 07 top, which covers the real estate case here, okay? And then if you look at that, you add 39 years, or 40, roughly 40 years onto the 07, you're talking 2047. Well, you know, well, I would make a lot of plans on what's going to happen in 2047 because I'm sure that I won't see that. A lot of other people aren't going to see that. So, but it is interesting to understand how you maneuver through that cycle, because early in the early parts are pretty interesting. They tend to be violent, but very often they lead to a condition where you get a low in value, but not a low as far as speculative interest is concerned. That's what I wanted to talk about in this update. So anyways, if you start out with a top in 29, a top in 68, and a top in 07 as being 39 cycles apart, you'll see in this chart the Value Line Composite Index topped out at the end of 68. So what you're seeing here for the average stock is the beginnings of the decline from what would be a 40-year cycle peak. And that could kind of stand in for the 07 peak in the real estate area, or could be for the stock market. It's different because that's the inflation was going to be the upcoming problem, and I think that the problem going forward from this peak in 07 is a deflationary problem, and it's different. But by the time you reduce it to T's, it doesn't make any difference. So the lessons kind of come there, but superficial. There'll be superficial differences. It turns out to be a disaster, but the way the disaster manifests itself is different. But you know, the bottom line is disasters are disasters. So let's just take a look at this chart and see what happened. In the 68, you had a top in the value line. The interesting story about Warren Buffett, of course, is that he was so upset about how bad this thing was that he had his company, he was successful, he made a lot of money. He sent all the money back to the people, and he says, "This market is too dangerous for me." And after the market got stocks went down and they got cheap, then he came back in the business began. But he was completely clueless at the 07 top. He's completely clueless at the 2000 top, and he just kept going along with it. It would seem to me that the dangers were more clearly justified in those latter two examples, and so he's caught up in he's caught up with trying to explain how you can be fundamentally positive on common stocks when the classic, when Shiller will tell you that you're crazy on that one. You know, he's too polite to say that, but I mean, but that's the interesting case. Just mention that as we go through. So you notice that when you start down from 68, you're not going to know about the 74 low with this big black T in it. The only thing you see is the small T. And it turns out that decline was about 17, 18 months, which is a normal bear market correction. And the bear market that we were in is also a 17, 18 months, because it's got a double bottom in it, so you don't have to count that out, but it's the same idea. So what happens is the value line index went down for a period of about 17 months. You could construct a small time symmetrical T. It came back up in the second, was kind of herky-jerky and so forth. Then it rolled over, and it went into a second decline. And the reason it goes down when you go from a major peak, why you get that second bear market leg down, is because you can't make another T, which is the same thing we're going to say when we get to the end of August. The advanced decline measures have already peaked in all-time new highs, so we can't get the regeneration of a new T, which we need. I was talking with Peter Eliades. We talked about real estate in the California area, and you know, he kept harping on the problem is, yeah, they stabilized the situation, and real estate is making this pathetic little recovery and so forth. He says, but what you got to have is liquidation, and in this long conversation, the word liquidation kept coming up, which was his major point, and that is, and this is the same thing that happened right here, is that the average stock had been so overbought in 68, and it came down, and it had a recovery, a partial recovery, but the thing that was missing relative to getting stocks oversold, and which was Warren Buffett's contention, was they didn't have the liquidation phase. So the seriousness of the decline into 74 is the liquidation phase. That means that the people who were they were discouraged when the decline went into 1970, okay, and then when it went up and they were kind of discouraged on that, they finally let go because they had to let go or they wanted to let go, but it doesn't make any difference. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, and you entered the liquidation phase, and that would be the forecast you get for the second decline in real estate. Go back to the real estate example, you're going to go down and people are going to be discouraged, but they're going to hold on. And then they're looking for a recovery phase in here because they see that things are signs of stabilization. And they will hang on. They may hang on for a year or they may hang on for 2 years. But if the progression of the 40-year cycle falls anything like this, what you would expect is that they're going to become discouraged by some fundamental developments or the action of the real estate itself or the fact that the country can't seem to grow and there's no growth to carry on the real estate boom. And they're going to essentially decide that they're going to let go of the real estate. And the real estate in the liquidation phase goes from what they call weak hands, people that did it because everybody else was doing it, into strong hands, which were the value buyers. And in this case, by the time you get to 74, commons, the Dow was down at 600. And people thought that it was the end of the world. But the advantage in being in that position is now that you can make this bigger T. And so you have a 68 to 74, which is a pretty reasonable period when you look at the stock market, 6 years. So you get a six-year advance up to 1980, and then you have to have another bear market, which you had another bear market for 2 years and you made the 82 low. But in the 82 low, the Dow, which had bottomed at 600, only bottomed around 800. So it was a higher low in terms of fundamentals, earnings, and dividends. The 82 low is actually a better low. And in terms of T theory, you can claim that the period from the 60s down to 82 is a cash buildup phase, and that we call a mega T. And that long period gave rise to a much bigger T. So that 2 year decline allowed us to draw a much bigger T in, which was the basis for the great bull market of the 80s and the 90s, and set the stage for the great rally in real estate as the final speculative peak near the end, and also the dot-com revolution. The point that he wanted to make out of this one was that unless you go through the liquidation phase, you can't get into a period where you can justify things on a valuation basis. In 74, you could claim that was a low in terms of valuation for that time period. It was an inflationary period. You never got any of that deflation stuff that you had in the 30s. So they got kind of, we don't believe that's necessarily true. But the point is that unless we have not gone through the liquidation phase yet. And so what we had was that we had a 17-year bear market, and we're having a 17-year bear market, depending on how you define it. And there's likely to be disappointments at that one. So if you're thinking about real estate, don't think about it. And if you're thinking about continuation of the bull market, don't think about it. You just let it go, because you're not going to be able to get into a situation where you can finally kill off the rather severe consequences of a cyclical peak on a time scale of 40 years until you get down there. There is an opportunity, however, if you get a liquidation phase that gets low, because you can buy things that are cheap. To continue the story in this chart, what happened is in 74, you did reach a point where the average stock went up. The problem was that in the period of the topping phase, the world fell in love with the blue chips, the Nifty 50, they were called, but it would include Xerox and Eastman Kodak. And coming out of the 74 low, when things looked like they'd be okay, they just kept going back to these speculative favorites, Xerox and Eastman Kodak. If you look at what happened over the next two decades, they all just faded away into little tiny companies. It was never the place to be. And so what happened was you got the values, you know, in an aggregate sense, that the stocks were cheap. It's just that they wouldn't go for the favorites. So if you go into a liquidation phase, you know, you don't look around for the favorites because they're overowned. So that's another thing. So if you went into a real estate decline and you were getting out to the year 2013, 2016, or something like that, and you knew that real estate was rock bottom, you'd have to do what I did when it was coming up in this 6 year advance into 1980, was we found out it was the small companies that had been neglected that could really do it well. So if you went to the real estate, you wouldn't go for the popular things. You'd try to go to, you'd have to go someplace else. In other words, look for something that seems to have been overlooked and had was not only the real estate, maybe it was cheap, but there was a niche product that had been overlooked, which was begging to be bought. And if you just do the relative strength of what that thing is, you'd have to go into a particular real estate sector that seemed to be doing better than the others, or you thought had better prospects and so forth. So that's the moral of the story that comes out of that one. Now, after you get through this T, you get this tremendous multiplying effect, which you see all the way through the 1940s, if you go back to that example, or if you stay in the 80s, 70s and 80s, in this example, is that once you expire T, you get another bear market, which is 2 years down to 82, But then when you come out of that one, your cash buildup phases, which are measured on momentum basis, are so long that you have this huge projection, and that huge projection in time is the 40-year cycle. So you can't get to the 40-year cycle until you start getting into big T's, and big T's require you to have a succession of failures, at least in momentum, and you're going to be fighting that battle all the way down. So you don't want to start fighting the battle of the liquidation now, because when whatever you're looking for gets cheap, you're going to fight the fact that the old favorites are dying, and you're going to have to go looking for new things. And then when that dies, you have to have another bear market, and the thing drags on and on and on and on and on. So you have to realize that the 40-year cycle is a constant battle for the first 20 years or the 26 years, or whatever way you see it as a long-term cycle. And you don't want to start making mistakes early, because the mistakes early are that you're going to get a liquidation phase, number one. Then the next one is that you're in the wrong sector, if it's a popular sector. However, you can say that it's going to, if you think that things are cheap, you will want to be there. That's the problem. Personally, I think the gold is the better option to go in, because nobody really owns the gold and everybody owns the real estate. So you're going to have the disappointments show up in the real estate, whereas most of the gold people are going to find out that they're pretty happy with their investments, despite the corrections and the erratic nature of it. And so they don't come back on you like the liquidation. Nobody's going to go around and liquidate gold just because they had a few problems in the trend, as long as they see the trend is up. The other thing, which I'll probably do another day, is when you get into a 40-year cycle, and I'll give you a couple of examples of them, is that after you go through the 20 years, if it's a 40-year cycle, you go through the 20 years, which is the hard phase, and you start going up someplace in the third decade or the fourth decade or the four-year cycle. It's only got four decades in it. That you go into a speculative boom, and when you go into that, you come back to the real estate boom. See, that's a late-stage cycle boom. And it turns out that everybody's comfortable with speculating. Everybody's doing it. And you can just get aboard that train and run it. And the money is easy to make. And that's the one that's the hard part, because it won't come for a while. So I'll leave you on that note for this Sunday, and say that, you know, there's lessons in there, and there's lessons in these small T's, which we duplicate in the advanced decline line. It's very similar to the value line composite index. They behave somewhat similar. And so that's my commentary and my posting for today, and we'll be back here next Sunday, and Tuesday morning we'll be doing the update back on the short-term trend. Thank you for checking in. Bye-bye.